Good morning, listeners. Achieving excellence in ministry through effective Christ-centered leadership and living. This remains the theme that we are focusing on in this series of messages. We are continuing to examine the life of the Apostle Paul, who demonstrated this theme throughout his life and ministry. Today, we will examine how the effective Christ-centered leader deals with the power structures of the world. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. 1 Timothy 2, 1-6. Paul implored Timothy to put prayer at the very center in relation to our interactions with the leaders in the world. When we pray for God to change leaders, by extension, we affect them and everyone who follows them. Praying for our leaders results in an atmosphere conducive to the spreading of the gospel. It recognizes the sovereignty of God, who alone has the power to transform the heart of every human being. David declared, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes." Psalm 21, verse 1. God demonstrated this most dramatically when he humbled King Nebuchadnezzar by driving him from his kingdom and caused him to have the heart of an animal for 7 years, and then restored him to his kingdom when he finally recognized that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Daniel 4:28-32. Effective Christ-centered leaders should be proactive in recruiting and equipping prayer partners who will engage in praying not just for themselves, but for the leaders of nations, kingdoms, and the world at large. Acts chapters 23-26 record the appearance of the Apostle Paul before two powerful leaders of his time. He had been arrested because of his faith in and proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was brought before the Roman governor Festus and the king Agrippa. He had been in prison for more than 2 years at the time and faced a possible death sentence. Festus had inherited Paul's case from his predecessor, Felix, who held Paul on unofficial charges of inciting riots among Jews and encouraging rebellion against Rome. Both Festus and Felix took more interest in gaining favor with the Jews than in seeing that justice was done in the case. When Festus told the visiting King Agrippa of the Paul problem, the king gave the apostle a hearing. Paul took the opportunity to present the gospel, but when he told Agrippa of his experiences with Christ, it was like nothing Festus had ever heard. The two government leaders had the chance to turn to Christ because of Paul's bold testimony, but neither did. Acts 24:25 records, "Now has he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you.'" In Acts 26:28-29, Paul convincingly declared his experience of being called by God and given a heavenly vision by the Lord Jesus Christ. King Agrippa, who stood in judgment, was moved. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." Neither the Roman governor Festus nor King Agrippa accepted the invitation to surrender their lives to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Why not? Apparently, their positions of power and leadership meant more to them than the condition of their souls. What do we learn from this? Effective Christ-centered leaders will challenge the power structures of their day with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elijah the prophet challenged idolatrous worship in Israel in his day. He faced off with the 450 prophets of Baal and destroyed them as he proved the power of God before the people of Israel. 1 Kings 18:20-40. John the Baptist in the New Testament was not afraid to speak out against unrighteousness. More than once, he rebuked King Herod for divorcing his wife and marrying his niece Herodias, who had been his brother Philip's wife. His bold and godly stance ultimately caused him to be beheaded. Effective Christ-centered leaders must call a spade a spade. It is not right to refuse to expose the truth and refuse to stand up for righteousness. After all, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. From the very beginning, the Apostle Paul's life in Christ greatly influenced everyone around him. This persecutor turned apostle stood before kings, governors, and the religious power structures of the day. His enemies accused him, imprisoned him, beat him, and threatened him with death. He traveled untold thousands of miles and even survived a shipwreck. Through all of this, Paul never failed to vigorously and courageously defend and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't become an influential leader because of his eloquence or because he possessed some special talent withheld from everyone else. Paul gained influence because, regardless of his circumstances, whether he sat in shackles during another interrogation, whether he lay in a cold prison cell, or whether he roamed free to do his work, he stayed committed to one thing: preaching the name of Jesus. Without question, Paul became the most influential leader of the early church. We continue to feel his influence to this day. By the world standards, then and today, Paul must have appeared a fanatic. But all he did was obey God's call to influence the world around him. Wise leaders today would do well to follow Paul's example by purposefully taking the word of God both to the body of Christ and to the unbelieving world. Godly leaders know that the pursuit of a deeper knowledge of and obedience to Jesus takes precedence over everything else, including the acquisition or protection of power. Power not only corrupts, but it also fades and dissipates, unlike the genuine character we can acquire through submission to Jesus Christ. Leaders, are you willing to stand for Jesus Christ? To stand for righteousness? Stand for holiness? Stand for the truth? If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, now is the best time to do so. He will transform and empower you to live your best life.